Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. You're listening to the I Love Politics show. Today is Memorial Day. Monday, May 25th, 2015. It's 3:30 p.m. I'm here in the Central Time Zone. I'm B. Sayers. I do politics. I do praise. I do productivity. Those three things are on my daily agenda. Those three things have made my life prosper. It takes all three for me. And every opportunity that I have, I try and share these three things with others so that others may move toward prosperity. Today being Veterans Day, veterans are on my list, the top of my list every day. I do job readiness workshops for veterans. I do individual workshops. I do them by groups. I help online. I help veterans in any way that I can. I know the walks of veterans. I am not a veteran. I have family who are veterans. I've lived with veterans of different generations. Today, Memorial Day, we recall those heroes. Whether they fought in the wars, volunteered their time, or was a mandatory participant in the wars, they gave of themselves. And the things that they gave, I don't know that received in the magnitude of their giving. We have poverty in America today, and that is one of the greatest problems we have today, poverty. We have veterans today in America living in poverty. How this happened? Greed, American greed. Americans who care for self and their loved ones before they care for others, if they care for others. Poverty in America today can be fixed. I say that, I know that, it's fact. But we have to want to fix it. We have to want to end poverty. We have to want to lift people out of poverty. And I don't see that desire in America. And that is our problem. That there is not the desire that should be to lift people out of poverty, and especially our veterans. Not just our veterans, though. Everybody, there should be no poverty in America, one of the richest countries in the world. 400 billionaires call America home. Over 10 million millionaires call America home. I'm not speaking of millionaires as in I have $1 million. That doesn't count as a millionaire in America. We have problems, America, and we have to fix these problems, and we can fix these problems. Poverty, there are causes, many causes. There are cities with no public transportation, a little public transportation. There are cities that has no grocery stores where people who live there can get fresh fruits and vegetables. There are families who have no one but one another, no community bonding in cities. There are families where incarceration is the way the city makes money, and there is no forgiveness. People are set up to have to pay fees in some cities in America so that those cities will make money. Families in America go without basic needs, things people take for granted. They call it food insecurity now. It's hunger. It's starvation. It's humiliation. A family of four may have a mother and three children, a mother, father, and two children. Money is scarce more times than not. Bills can't be paid more times than not. Children's names get used on bills because the lights was turned out or the gas was turned off, and you can't afford that big bill, so you get it turned back on in the name of a child. And when that child get 18, that child has no credit but bad credit. Children suffering from lack of clothes in the winter to go to school. They miss days. They miss so many days. To when the spring arrived, the children are embarrassed to even go into the schools without enough clothing on them. With missing all the time and knowing they miss the time and knowing they're going to be questioned about the time they miss. So truancy goes up. There are communities where there are high levels of lead in those buildings that slum landlords are renting out to people, and people can barely pay for it, and they're being killed with lead, or they might, the mines are being destroyed because of lead poisoning. There are communities where the elderly die younger because they can't afford their medicines, so they die from lack of medication. Treatment is calling 911. That's the maintenance health care, 911. And if you're lucky, you'll make it to the hospital. And if you're not lucky, the family has a bill now because they have to bury somebody. And that older person who might have been there to look after the kids when they do come home from school, now they are no longer there. So now you got children on the street. There's a lack of skills in communities, not because people can't learn, but because fees, fines, incarceration, these are things that make people ineligible for grants and loans to educate themselves. And so communities are left without resources to education that they need to complete high school. Payday lenders are like vultures in certain communities. People pay back 200-300 times more than what they borrowed, and they had to borrow it. These are the causes of poverty. And these things are because CEOs don't hire people. Politicians don't raise minimum wages. Politicians write laws that prevent poor people from being successful in America, and laws that create wealth for rich people to take their money and store it offshore after they use up poor people's money for bread, for lights, for water, for rent. America is being oppressed. America is being oppressed by politicians, courts, law enforcement, CEOs. To be specific, our judges are corrupt, and it hurts poor people, and it even hurts people who are not poor. Because, see, oppressed people do not have to be poor to be oppressed. Courts do oppress people based on where they live. what they earn. The Supreme Court of the United States recently handed down laws that said discrimination doesn't exist in America and there is no entitlement for minorities in this country. Minorities expect entitlements. This comes down from Scalia. America is being oppressed by judges, the Supreme Court of the United States. Cops are oppressing people. The GOP is oppressing people. And Alex, A-L-E-C, is an oppressor of people in America. There's at least half of this country is being oppressed. And the other another quarter is ducking and dodging and hoping they don't fall into that group. And the other quarter is licking that top one. The other 24% is, okay, the other 23% is licking the behinds of the top 2%, hoping they can stay away from the lower group where poverty is sure to come. America has problems. Oppression is a problem, and it's being created by CEOs, by the GOP, by the Supreme Court of the United States, by the cops, by the judges. Alex is a group of CEOs who are paying politicians with scholarships and donations to do their will, and their will is to not pay taxes. And their will is to not pay wages to their workers. And their will is to outsource American jobs. And their will is to bring foreigners in on jets and hire those foreigners in jobs that Americans sorely need. The American Legislative Exchange Council was founded in 1973. It brings corporations, state legislators, and conservative think tanks together to write laws. Legislators and corporations vote on model bills. They stick in the poor people, and you are poor in America if you work for your money. And it is what is happening across the country and in the legislative state houses and in Congress. Alex produces roughly 1,000 bills a year. And every year, about 20% of those bills become laws. Alex bills that became law includes Arizona's anti-immigration paper, please, law of 2010, Wisconsin union busting law of 2011, right to work laws in Indiana and Michigan, 2012, Florida stand your ground law, signed by Jeb Bush in 2005. That's Alex, and Alex is an oppressor, and Alex creates poverty, like the GOP creates poverty. We have politicians who are so busy tearing down this nation, and they do it by dividing and conquering the people, the poor people, the working class people, the middle class people, the working poor. They come against them to divide them so that they can conquer and receive money in donations and scholarships from CEOs under programs like Alex. Mike Huckabee, let me tell you about him. Mike Huckabee, Josh Duggar, and Mike Brown. Mike Huckabee is a politician. He's running for president of the United States. There is a young man, age 27, who has been accused and found guilty by people who say he have been, and he said he did it, of molesting young girls and his sisters, they say, when he was a teenager himself. And also, I'm going to compare these two, the way Mike Huckabee compared them. There was a young man in Ferguson named Michael Brown who was killed by a police officer. So, Mike Huckabee did his take on these two young men. One is dead, one lives, and he's a part of a reality show with his family. Josh Duggar. Here's what Mike Huckabee said. The reason that the law protects disclosure of many actions on the part of a minor is that the society has traditionally understood something that today's bloodthirsty media does not understand, that being a minor means that one's judgment is not mature. So this is the way Mike Huckabee excuses the child molestation that went on with Josh Duggar. He defends Josh. Even though Josh today is 27, he defends the actions of Josh because he said Josh was a young man. And young men are not to be judged by a mistake that they made. But Mike Huckabee goes on to speak about Michael Brown. He says about Michael Brown, a dead young man, it's a tragedy that the young man got shot. But this is a young man that just roughed up a store owner, just robbed a store, and now he's going after a cop's gun. It's a horrible thing that he was killed, but he could have avoided that if he had behaved like something other than a thug. Mike Brown is dead, a dead black man. Josh Duggar is on a family reality show making money. A white man. Mike Brown was shot and killed by a cop who did not know Mike Brown, quote unquote, as they say, robbed the store owner. Mike Brown was killed running from a cop. The cop says Mike Brown took his gun and tried to kill him, wrestled his gun away from Mike Brown. Mike Brown broke and ran, armless, unarmed, with nothing but his feet, rubber on heels. And when the cop could not catch him, he immediately started firing shots at the back of a running, young, unarmed black male. And he says the reason he shot him, and witnesses say, is that Mike Brown had turned around, put his hands up. But the cop says, I shot him because I feared for my life. Since when does a man moving forward and you running behind him cause you harm and he's unarmed? How does that happen?
Call me back. I'm doing a show.
Make this clear. Make no doubt about it. This man who made these two statements wants to be president of the United States, of every person in the United States, be they black or be they white. This man does not care for black skin. No doubt about it. This man doesn't even care for young girls. Plural, no doubt about it. America that we are living in today, that must be changed. And we are being oppressed, but we can change people like Mike Huckabee, get them out of our lives by voting. That's how we do it. Vote. When you say oppression, you think about poor people, minorities, and immigrants. Well, the court oppresses groups of people by class, by color, geographically. The court is the law, and as you know, there is no excuse for ignorance of the law. One judge can change lives daily for good and for bad. So if you're poor, the court likely changes your life for bad. This is one of the many causes of poverty. when the courts lay their hands and make a ruling and they look and the ruling is based on the color of skin, poverty. When politicians write and pass laws that oppress the citizens, you create poverty. Poverty is caused by failure to vote in the sense that these people making these laws have no business there. Whatever it is that caused people not to vote, I do not know. But I do know that voting would keep some of this scum out of our government. Even if you are not poor, you need people around you who are not poor also, right? Because poor people can't buy your products and services, right? Poor people can't keep up their property in your community, right? They can't keep stuff up like you can. But you see, poverty is caused by greed. Poverty is caused by too much of the past being recalled by people who live the past and people who handed down hate to others because they crave the past. And they are the ones who made the biggest mistakes of the past, and they want to go back to the past, and it creates poverty. Ain't no going back. Wealthy people, wealth is used against people power to do what they want, when they want, to whom they want. But let me tell you people, wealth is not power, not in God's eyesight. You might think wealth is power, and too many people think that, but wealth is not power. And no working person should be bowing down to nobody's money. An honest day's work for an honest day's pay. You don't have to lick nobody behind to get that check. I take a job at one wage. I learn your way to do the job, and I learn the job, and I learn other people's job, and I seek more money, and I get more money because I make myself valuable to that company. I don't lick butt. Never have, never will. You going to pay me more after I've been there 90 days? I'm walking out the door and ain't going to even look back. You have to give me a reason to stay there. That's the way I do it. I will not show up when you need me most. If I asked you for a raise after 90 days and you refuse, you can be sure I will be gone in the blink of an eye. You won't know it. I won't show up one morning. I will teach you how to treat the next person who asks you for a raise after they've shown themselves valuable and worthy of more money. I was raised in poverty. It was a good life because everyone around me lived as I lived. But you see, today the problem is poor people watch the greedy all around them every day, flaunting their greed, flaunting their wealth, and they have nothing. That's the problem today. That's why it's so different. That's why. You see, I was raised in a time when Americans cared for more than money, cared about the people who worked for them. They wanted the people who had tried and proven themselves. This is what I watched with my parents. They had jobs and they kept jobs, and when work was slow, no matter what type of work they did, the people they worked for kept them on. That's not the way it works anymore. My parents didn't live in a time when Americans cared more for money than for people. And I learned some mighty lessons from my parents. And today, never as an adult have I lived in poverty. I have never lived in poverty. I don't live in poverty now. And I will never, ever again live in poverty because I know how to stay out of it. And that's what I want you to do. You must believe in yourself and you must believe in your community. And together, as a group, your community can work to lift people out of poverty. Your thoughts will become things if this is what you desire. What do you think about your community? Now, I ask you this because you answer that question. And when you answer that question, you are describing who you are. What do you think about your community? And if your community needs to be fixed, it starts with you. Does the people in your community need jobs? How can you help? Are you one of those people that need a job? Then get a job. If you don't need a job, then help others in your community find jobs. Talk to your area officials. Talk to the merchants in your community and tell them your neighbors need jobs for your community. Organize a job fair. Do job readiness workshops like I do. Are there children in your area getting, are those children in your area getting lunches at school? Ask that question, whether you have children or not. You pay school taxes, and kids, hungry kids, turn into hungry teenagers, turn into hungry adults, and their crimes get bigger as they get bigger. There are hungry people around you and their children now. They're going to become petty thieves. They're going to become mischievous. They're going to learn it, and they're going to get refined it. And as they get turned into teenagers, their crimes are going to get bigger, and they're going to be standing on your corners begging, and they're going to be breaking in your homes. And what you expect them to do? Lay down on their back and die? You have to begin to build a community. You have to begin to lift people out of poverty. You have to find what's needed for yourself if you want. If you have nothing and you're in poverty, you call your local official. You find a way. Everybody got phones. Go to your local employment office. Look up the name of your congressperson, and you start riding their behind until you get a job. If you need clothes, you tell them, I need clothes to look for a job. If you need a place where you can shower and get a haircut, you tell them that too. You begin to build your community to what you want it to be, starting with yourself. Start a business. You can do it. Sell Avon. Bake something. Sell something. Transport your neighbors somewhere. Do a yard sale. Start a block consignment shop where you sell things. Mow people lawns. Do housekeeping. Do handyman services. We got to lift one another out of poverty, and we got to vote. You need to register to vote. I'm in Texas. Texas is at the bottom of the list when it comes to voting. Why? I have not a clue, because poverty is almost at 20% in this state, and people won't vote. All I can do is say, a person on Twitter told me, if I care, set out to register people to vote in the Democrat Party, and that's what I'm going to do. I hadn't thought of that. But this lady made this suggestion to me, and I'm on that. And as many people as I can in Texas to vote, because I want to do everything I can to help lift people out of poverty. I'm B. Sayers. Thank you for listening to the I Love Politics show.